class today. Glad to see you here. The only real announcement I have, so a number of people apparently somehow didn't get the email earlier about needing to tell me if you need a makeup exam, so I resent it an hour ago. If you need a different exam time because of a conflict, please fill out the form on the announcement sent out, and I will handle it from there. I understand the College of Arts and Sciences has a separate exam rescheduling form. This is officially a School of Engineering class, even though it's cross-listed, so we don't use that form. We'll use the one I emailed out instead. Do that before the end of today so that I can reserve a room if you're going to need that. Yeah, that's the only announcement I had. So any questions, queries, quandaries, anything for me? Okay. Today we're going to do a little bit more fractals and how that relates to recursion. So I'm going to slightly do a slightly different way of talking about the same thing we talked about last time. Go a little past it as well and see how that can teach us more about recursion. That will conclude our discussion of recursion, so the next time you will see it will be on the final. So let me actually go to this little diagram we did here. So we talked about ways of representing what's going on. And one of the ways we said for representing fractals was this rewriting rule. Okay? You replace a method invocation with what it does, right? So factorial 6 does 6 times factorial 5. You just replace it. You rewrite it with that other way of expressing it. This rewriting rule is sort of very close to being the idea behind fractals of the sorts that we're dealing with in this class. Okay? So we're going to walk through how this rewriting rule looks for the tree. We'll look at the Koch snowflake again, and then we'll sort of move on past that. So the tree. This picture expresses the rewrite rule that we want to do. Okay? It says that if I have a stick, if I have a tree, then, which I might also represent as perhaps tree of, I don't know, let's say this is depth 4. We'll pick some number, how many times we want to branch. And the rewrite rule says we change this into a stick and some smaller trees, some trees with a smaller number going into them. Okay? So tree 4 then needs to turn into a stick and two smaller trees. Okay? So tree 3 on both sides. That's what this means. So we're taking every place where we have a red arrow, which is a recursive invocation, and we're replacing it with what it's supposed to look like. Okay? So if we do that again, we'll now need to replace each of these arrows with a stick and a tree of size 2. Okay? So a stick and a tree of size 2 out of each of those. Okay? Where these are all sticks of size 2. And we just keep doing that until we get to the base case, where we just turn it into something, okay? So the next step here would turn each of those into a stick and two trees of size 1. And if 1 was our base case, then we would finally just turn those into sticks. And there's our tree. Okay? So this picture is just a way of embodying this rewriting idea of how we diagram recursion, where the colored arrows represent something that needs to be rewritten. It's a recursive invocation. Questions about this connection between the pictures and the diagram? All right. So let's also talk about what this looks like in code again. We've done this before, but let's go back and see this again. So we look at our tree code. Okay, it does a few odds and ends. It has a base case, the number of branchings that are left to do. Okay, so if that is the base case, we just draw a line. Okay, otherwise, then the rest of this is just the picture. In code, okay? Draw a stick, turn left, draw a tree, turn right, draw a tree, turn left, go back where you started. Okay? Let's draw a stick, turn left, draw a tree, turn right, draw a tree, go back. So all we've done is we've embodied this rewriting as a recursive method. Okay? So we've seen this before. I just wanted to bring this back to the other idea of how you work this. And we could actually do this code-wise, okay? So I could grab this code. Let's do this. Okay, let me make myself some more text. Now let's suppose we had called tree, I don't know, how about tree 5, okay? What we would see from this code is that tree 5 turns into, since 5 is not less than 2, it's going to turn into this chunk of stuff right here. Okay, so we can rewrite tree 5 as all of this, the non-base case, where this now is going to be 4s. Okay, so that's just a rewriting. We're replacing the numbers. Okay, we rewrite that one invocation with these others. And then what we can do is we can rewrite each of these invocations again. Let's get rid of the comment, actually, so this is slightly easier to follow. Okay, we're now going to take each of these recursive calls, and we can rewrite them as well. Okay, so that whole recursive call there turns into another bit of recursion. Let's actually indent that so it's a little cleaner to see. Okay, and this one also turns into another recursive invocation with one smaller size. Okay, and then I've got still 4 trees left to draw, and so I can take all of these, right? And I can say, oh, well, this tree here, that's also a recursive call. And that was tree 3, so it's going to be tree 2s in the rewrite. Okay? And this other one's also going to be tree 2 in the rewrite. And so is this one. And so is this one. Okay? And so we're starting to get quite a lot, but eventually, as we get down to the base case, let's pretend the base case was 2 instead of 1, because I don't want to keep doing this. The base case is just go forward and backward. Okay, so this base case here for this tree would be t dot forward. I think we did 6 here, and then immediately t dot backward 6. Okay, and so that's if that's our base case, then we can eventually get rid of all of the invocations of tree just by rewriting them all as their definition. And there's so many of them. Okay. And then this is conceptually what the turtle is told, okay? So Java using the stack handles all the rewriting. But what's the turtle told to do? It's told to go forward, then turn left, and then go forward, and then turn left, then go forward, then turn left, then go forward, then go backward, then turn right, then go forward, then go backward, then turn left, then go backward, then turn right, then go forward, then go left, right? It's just, these are the instructions the turtle receives. And so that causes the turtle to go forward and turn left and go forward and turn left and go forward and turn left and go forward and go backward and go forward and go backward, right? With the different turns and so on going as it goes along. And it causes it to walk along each branch of the tree. Okay? So the code rewrite, the picture rewrite mean the same thing. Questions, thoughts, concerns? This made things clearer. This thing made things more confusing. Okay. Yes?
Does it go forward all the way until the use case before it goes back?
What do you tell? You tell me. It surely looks like it does.
So it does.
It does.
So, like, so if one tree where it breaks off into two branches, it'll go on one side and then it'll go back?
Yep. Let's see that in how it actually happens to make sure that our understanding here is correct. Okay, so if I go down here and I invoke tree, let's do tree size 5, and let's set the delay to be fairly slow so we can see what's happening. Okay, and I see it goes forward. That may have been too big a delay. Right, I forgot that seconds, not milliseconds. Turn, forward, turn, forward, turn, forward, turn, forward. And now it goes back one and does the other half of that little tree, right? and continues on its way. So it'll do all of the leftmost tree before it starts the right tree. Because it does all of one thing before it goes to the next thing. And so to do all of the left tree, it has to do all of the left tree's left tree. And to do all of that, it has to do all of the left tree's left tree, left tree. And so on, before it'll ever come back into any of the right trees of any of those. So conceptually, what that means from the picture standpoint is it's going to redraw the entire left tree before it continues. So I drew sort of one layer at a time, but what it's going to do is just always grab the leftmost thing it can rewrite and do that entire rewrite before it moves on. Other questions as we watch Shelley slowly draw a tree? Okay, so let's see how this applies to the Koch curve. So our Koch curve, we see that one Koch curve turns into four Koch curves that are shorter. Okay? That's the rule. One Koch curve turns into four Koch curves that are shorter. So let's do this on the, I'm going to do this on the board, and let's do it the way Java would do it. Okay? So I'm going to start with one Koch curve. And I'm going to redraw this one Koch curve as four. Okay? So what's that going to look like? Well, they're going to be shorter. Each of the four Koch curves is one-third the size of the original. Okay? So I'm going to redo this curve as four Koch curves. Okay? And then each of those curves is going to have to be redrawn as Koch curves that are smaller. And each one of those is going to have to be redrawn as Koch curves that are smaller. Okay? And at some point I'll say they're small enough and I'll just draw them as lines. Okay? So at some point I'll just decide I'm good, we can draw lines now. So that eventually I'll get to a base case in what I'm doing. Right? So I'll chop it down to some level of detail and then I'll stop. And I'll do all the way to the end on the first one, and then I'll do all the way to the end on the next one. Okay? And I'll do all the way to the end on the next one, and so on down the line. Okay? Until eventually we get this sort of funky, starry-looking thing. That's what this means. Turn one line into four lines, a third as long, with the right angles between them. Yes?
Can you explain what the base case looks like?
The base case is it's short enough.
The line?
Yep. So when it's short enough that I don't think I'll get more interesting visualization by making it shorter, I will stop. The official fractal, from a mathematician's standpoint, there is no base case. We continue at it forever. From a computer scientist standpoint, we have to deal with the fact that reality doesn't go forever, and we stop at some point and just say, a line's good enough for me. Okay? So this is the idea behind the Koch curve. Other questions about the idea here? I know I've seen this before. I wanted to reemphasize that. So let's talk about how we turn that into code. Okay? Given this picture, what do I do to create code? You're going to have to do this in a moment with a different curve, okay? So the first thing you're going to have to do is have a turtle in the world, right? We've seen that, right? We need a world, we need a turtle. We need to change how fast the turtle is if we want to see anything quickly. We could set the shell size, but we're not going to, okay? And then I'm actually going to restart this Koch. The thing that changed between this arrow and this arrow that tells me how far I am is how long the arrow is. Not how many branches I have left like the tree, but how long my arrow is. Okay? So if my arrow is still too long, I'm going to recurse some more. I'm going to make it smaller. So in my Koch method, I'm going to have how long is the arrow. That's going to tell me how close I am to being done. And in any recursive method, for it to work, I need a base case and a recursive case, okay? So I need some base case, and I need some recursive case, okay? So if it's the base case, then do the base thing, else recur. This is the structure of all successful recursive code. And so now we just have to decide what those things are. So, let's start with the recursion. When I look at this, I see that one invocation turns into four smaller invocations. Okay? So one call of Kolk's recursive case will be four calls of Kolk, because one arrow turns into four arrows. So down here, I'm going to have four calls of Kolk. Smaller. Okay? I'm going to have to do that four times. Has to be four of them, because that's how many smaller red arrows there were, given the big red arrow. Right, that's just the definition of what I've got on the board. Four smaller calls. There's going to be some other stuff here, and we'll have to define what I mean by smaller. But that's what I've got to do. Somehow. Next question is, how much smaller? And the answer is, it doesn't really matter. If it's somewhat smaller, I'll make progress. Actually, before we answer how much smaller, let's talk about the base case. I just said the base case is it's small enough. Okay, so if the length of the arrow is small enough, I don't care what we say, the length small is small. How small should small be? Anybody care? 16. All right, if it's smaller than 16, I'm going to pretend like I just have a line. Okay? So I'll say anything shorter than 16 pixels, just a line. And I could tweak that number. I picked it out of thin air, or one of you picked it out of thin air, right? It's just, I need a base case. The other thing I need a base case, I need a recursive case, and the recursive case needs to make progress towards the base case. So I need to make sure that whatever smaller is, it's closer to being less than 16 than I started with. Okay? So I can just do this. I could just say double smaller equals length of arrow, and then it just needs to be smaller. It doesn't matter, but in the picture, the smaller arrows are 1/3 the length of the bigger arrows. If I'd picked 1/2, I'd pick the length minus 1 and so on, I'd still make progress, it'd still eventually terminate. I just wouldn't necessarily know how long my Kolk curve would be. So you don't have to get that exactly right, but it does make the picture come out cleanly. Okay? So I do four smaller Kolk curves, and the only other thing I have to do is figure out what angle are each of these at. Okay, so the first Kolk curve, first smaller Kolk curve, is the same angle as the original. So I don't need to turn before I draw the first one. But I do need to turn between the first and the second one. I think I turned right by 60 degrees. Right by 60 degrees. Okay? And then between this first, the second and third one, I need to turn left by 120. Because between this and that, that's a turn of left of more than 90 degrees. It's 120 degrees. And then between this, the third and fourth, I need to turn right by 60 again. And I always need to end up facing the same direction I started facing in all of these. But I did, by magic, I'm already there. Be a definition of Kolk. I don't need any extra turn at the end. And so here, I have a full recursive Kolk. Okay? Has a base case, which just draws a line. It has a recursive case. It makes progress. And it does the right set of turns in between, the right number of recursive calls for the picture that I'm supposed to mimic. And so now if I do Kolk, and I say, I want, how about a 200 long Kolk curve? It does it. Okay? And if I said, you know what, that's not enough detail, I wanted more detail, then I can just say, keep recurring until you're smaller. And now it will keep recurring until it's smaller and give me more detail. At some point, it gets too small to matter. And my turtle looks rather frenetic. But but it does its job, right? It just keeps adding detail as we go along. Questions about Kolk? About how I turn the picture into the code? About why the code does what it does? Okay. So here is the part of the day where you get to try something out and see if you actually understand it. Yes, you may. Ask the question.
Okay, so you know, like, I don't really have the recursive part, because
it's
nearby, like, where's the n-1?
Ah! So your question is, where is n-1? I don't have n-1. What do I have instead? I have n divided by 3. Okay? I need to make progress. I need to make progress towards the base case. But how I make progress towards the base case is to some level up to me. By taking the length divided by 3, I'm going to make sure that the end result is the same length as this I started out with. Other questions about the code before I have you do your own? Okay. I'm going to have you do one that's a bit harder, just because it'll make this activity more interesting. Okay, this is called the dragon curve. The dragon curve is interesting because it has two rules. We've got red dragon curves and blue dragon curves. The colors aren't important. I just needed to put something on my picture. Okay? So for a red dragon curve, it's going to turn into another red and a blue, with a 45-degree turn at the beginning, a 90-degree turn at the middle, and another 45-degree turn at the end to straighten out, because we always need to straighten out. For the blue, we also have a red and then a blue with turns, but they're turning the other way. Okay? Sort of the other-handedness. So your red case will need to do a red and a blue. Your blue case will need to invoke a red and a blue in its recursive code. Questions about what that means? All right. Then I'm going to give you a few minutes. If you have a computer, great. If you have a friend, great. You should have both a computer and a friend between you and your friend. Work on this, okay? See what you can do. Sam and I will wander around and possibly give helpful advice, possibly not. See what questions arise as you do this. I can either leave up the picture or I can leave up the code. Which would you prefer to see on the screen? I would rather see the picture. I would rather see the code. Code wins. You can get the picture if you go to the lecture notes for lecture 37. Here's the code. Sam and I will wander around. You have a few minutes. See what you can do. All right. Let me finish this up. Before I show the rest of the code, questions anybody wants to ask? I might be able to clarify something for you. Okay, so let's take the red method. If I look at the red picture, I see that one red call needs to turn to one red and one blue. So I know I'm going to need a red and a blue. I'm probably going to need a smaller as well. Okay, so I'll just grab some of this stuff from Coke as a basis. The smaller will be a different thing, but I'm going to call red and then I'm going to call blue. Okay, I probably need different turns, different smaller. But let's start with that. So I know I need a red call and a blue call because this red arrow turns into a red arrow and a blue arrow. Right? And they turn it into a mad order. It does red first, and then it does blue. So I'm going to do red first, then blue. Before it does red, though, it turns 45 degrees, okay, to the right, I believe that is. So I'm going to turn right by 45 degrees before I do my first red thing. Then between doing red and blue, I turn to the left by 90 degrees, it looks like there. So let's do left, 90. And then I always want to straighten out before I'm done. So I'm going to turn back right 90. So instead of pointing off and to the left, I'm going to point straight up. Okay? So at the end, I'm going to turn right by 45 to straighten back out my turtle. Okay? The only other thing I have to do is change what I'm going to divide by. So let's do this properly. The square root of 2 should be how much smaller I get. If you pick a different number, it won't matter. It'll just make your curve a different size. That's okay. Square root of 2 will mean that it's exactly the length of arrow, instead of some other length. Questions about how I did that? All right, I'm going to copy this exactly over into blue and just tweak what I have to tweak. Okay? So I see the blue rule turns into a red and then a blue. And I have a red and then a blue. So far, so good. They're shorter by about the same ratio, so I'll use that same amount of smaller. And then the only thing that differs is instead of turning right and then left and then right, I turn left and then right and then left. I turn the other direction. So it's going to change all these to turn the other direction. Okay? And now I've got blue. Okay? I could change the color of things and so on, but the red and blue are just for illustrative purposes, so I don't really need to. If I run this now, I can use either red or blue as my initial one. Let's use red. Doesn't matter. And there goes my turtle. Okay? And all it's doing is the same thing I was doing on the board, but a whole lot faster, right? Now I'll notice that the turtle starts off going at sort of a different direction. The direction it starts off going is based on sort of how many times it turned 45 degrees left before it got down to the base case. And so it doesn't start off going the direction I started because I turn first. I turn a whole lot of times, and then I do it forward, and then I'll turn some more and continue as we're going to the base cases and back. If I were to make this base case smaller, let's say how about 5, then I would see it does a lot smaller lines and will take a lot longer as a consequence. Okay? But it draws the same shape with more detail. It's actually sort of filling it in. It's making a filled-in shape with lots of small lines. Surprisingly, this will take a long time. Okay? But it's drawing what is the dragon curve, this sort of twisty thing spirally around as it goes. Okay? So it's almost halfway done now. And so I have my curve. Questions about how I did that? Why is this called a dragon curve? I actually don't know. But anyway, there it is. Okay? I'm making the base case smaller. I can make it take longer, but make higher fidelity, higher resolution image as it goes. But the trick here, the important thing for you to take away, is that given a description of what the recursion should do, you should be able to write the recursion. Whether that's like we did in lab last week, or whether it's some sort of description of what's going on. So, there's a bunch of others on the website. Okay, and the lecture notes have 2 more examples, as well as a little discussion about how you can learn about other examples. I would encourage you to try out the other 2 examples on the website on your own. The Sierpinski triangle should actually look like a triangle made out of other triangles, even though this so doesn't look like triangles, right? And then the Hilbert curve will be like completely just filling your entire screen. But I also want to talk a little bit about how these are usually represented. Drawing these pictures is annoying and time-consuming. So the usual way to draw these things... Oh, and I forgot to fix this. I will fix this after. All right, the usual way to draw these things is something called an L system, which is just a way of simplifying our recursion. So I have 2 cases. Instead of calling them red and blue, they're called A and B. I could pick any numbers and letters I wanted. And then I say the recursive case turns A into a B and A and a B with either plus or minus in between to mean turn. The bottom line should actually have positives. Okay, but the plus means turn to the right and the minus means turn to the left, or vice versa. It's your choice. And then they specify what angle and what you do in the base case. Okay? So this is a sort of a succinct way of describing these kinds of fractals. And you can find lots and lots and lots of L systems online for drawing all kinds of things, different species of tree and weird fractals and so on. These are very common online. And so there's other ones here. I've got the Hilbert curve and so on. So you can practice that as a way of getting a little bit of hands-on experience with recursion. Okay. Questions? Anything I can clarify about what we've talked about in the last 3 lectures about recursion? Okay. You will next see recursion on the final. You will see it on the final. We always ask some questions about recursion. We'll ask you to understand what recursive methods do. So practicing the sort of rewriting rules, you know, crossing things out and writing what they mean might be useful for you. We'll also usually ask you to write some kind of recursive program, usually a bit simpler than a fractal, but we might ask a fractal. What we'll come back on Wednesday, we'll sort of move back to classes a little bit and try to tie together a bunch of ideas. So on Wednesday and Friday, we'll be sort of walking through what was going to be homework 7, but isn't because we had too many snow days. We'll talk about how to make classes talk to themselves and with each other without getting an infinite recursion and so on. So we'll try to tie together a lot of these ideas, and that's it. So again, if you weren't here at the beginning, if you need to do a different exam time, there's a form. Please fill that out today so that I can reserve rooms there. And that's all I've got. Yes? Can I put my code back up? Absolutely.